not going to study the whole Bible, but most of it. In Genesis chapter 1, and a logical place is verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And, before that time, there was life, but the only life that there was God. God is life. Jesus said He was the way and the truth, that He was the life. Life. I want you to think about what life is. Could you give a definition of life without using death? Of course, life is kind of the opposite of death. But as far as anything else is concerned, in the beginning, there was no life as we know it now. Now, we would find, if we had time to go through it, read in Corinthians and such, and we know this, that different kinds of life. There's plant life, and there's animal life, there's fish, there's birds and such. But note in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Kind of a not very nice day, because it wasn't day. There was no day. There was nothing except there was the earth. God, in the beginning, created the heaven and the earth. And in that beginning time, the earth was without form. Can you imagine without form? What held it together? Just God had created it that way. But note this, if you would, please. In the last part of verse 2, and the Spirit of God. Now, God is spirit, so that seems kind of contradictory, doesn't it? But the Spirit of God, when it uses spirit, it's an operation of God, that God does something by who He is. And God, by His Spirit, moved upon the face of the waters. And then in chapter 2, and verse 7, the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, still no life, friend, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The breath of life. What is life? What is life? Now, life for the birds, animal life, plant life, is not like human life. Because God created those things and He gave them life. He spoke life to them, but He did not breathe into them life. We know it. In fact, life in the Scripture has several different meanings. But it is the life we're talking about is physical or spiritual, and God has put them together. When He made man a living soul, it affected both physical and spiritual. So what is life? What is life? Well, some biblical definition. It has to do with both physical or spiritual. It means life force. It means a seat of emotions. Life has emotions. It's an immaterial, life is an immaterial part of man. We can't put our finger on life. We use life in a lot of different ways. We can say, well, this object, this is my life, man. I put everything into this as my life. No, that's not your life. Okay. Or we can feel like we've dedicated our life to something. Did we really? We might say about a child, oh, that child is my life. No, that child is not your life. Okay? A child is not a definition of life. What is life? Life is so important. Life is probably the most important thing that you have going for you. But God tells us not to get too caught up in life as we see it, as we think of it. Now this really doesn't disturb me, but it intrigues me. Life. Jesus said his word is life. Well, yes, it is, but it isn't. You can read the Bible. You can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, his writings, the things that he said, and it not do a thing for you. It's not necessarily life until his spirit is attached to it. Then it becomes life. In fact, he says his word is life and spirit. You can't separate life and spirit, because when spirit and life are no longer together, you don't have life, you have death. When your spirit leaves, your body's dead. Okay, but you're still alive. Okay, the you is still alive, whether you're a believer or not. See, once you become alive, you never die. You're never going to die. The real you. Your house dies, but we put too much emphasis upon the house. Way too much emphasis. We need to think about what life is. There are people that really do dedicate their lives to a cause. Some people dedicate their lives, whatever that is, to pleasures, the pleasures of this life. Well, that's kind of misleading, because we're talking about the pleasures of while we're here now. We're talking about, from a biblical perspective, that life is the immaterial part of a person that responds to God. You see, one day, someday, every knee shall bow. Amen. Every individual shall respond to God. Everyone. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen. That He's the only way. No matter how sincere your religion, it won't work, okay? So, as we think about life, life is so precious, yet the enemy stole life from us. Let me show you some. Let's go to the other part of your Bible, other end of it, if you would, Revelation. Let me show you something in Revelation chapter 21. And I pray God helps me to comprehend this. Well, in fact, I tell you, before we go to 21, let's go to Revelation 13, last part of Revelation 13. In fact, on this, we may come back tonight a little bit. But in chapter 13 of Revelation, we have the beast arise. It's going to come in the last part of the tribulation period, we find in chapter 20. And with this, there's a prophet comes on the scene and such, and there's an image that is made, he talks about verse 11, chapter 13, verse 11. I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He spake as a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven from the earth on the earth in the sight of men. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. He deceives those. Okay? By means of miracles. Miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of this other creation. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Look at verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now, I'm not going to, like I said, we'll maybe touch on some of this tonight. I'm not going to presume that I understand all this. I'm not going to dare think that I understand things Daniel didn't understand. But there's a power that is given whereby this existence is given unto this beast, or whatever it is. And this word here means that immaterial part of life. So this becomes a living thing. This is the other end of life. We're getting ready to end life as it is known. Because time is getting ready to end. Heading towards that way at this particular time, Revelation talking of, in the last part of the tribulation period. You know, we're changing dispensations. Let me put it that way. We'll still have the millennium and the such, but we're going to change dispensation. Things are going to change. Okay, so this is that this image has the ability to respond to God. That's the life that is given. So we find from Genesis, God breathes by His very Spirit. God spirited is the word that is used into this dirt. And this fashioned pile of dirt becomes a living soul, a living life soul, a living soul. And now we come towards the end, and now here we have a power of Satan. My, we underestimate the power of Satan. A power of Satan that can give life unto this creation, whatever it is, this, I don't know, could be a system, could be a part, I don't know. But he's able to give life unto this. And so we come to an end and we find that this life is so fleeting, folks. Whatever it is, it's fleeting, but it never ends. Life. So Jesus said, if you save your life, you will lose it. Now, he's not just talking about your breathing, your functioning, your mobility. He's talking about something more than that. Your life. What is life? Life consisteth not in the abundance of our possessions, Scripture says. Our life is not. Wow. This house that I spent every working hour I could, every hour working on this that I could, this house is my life. No, life does not consist of possessions. Life is not defined by what you possess. Life is not defined by what your obituary says about you. It is not defined by when the attorney reads your will and you've got so much stuff to leave for your family or whatever. That is not life. Life does not consist, Scripture says, of the abundance of our possessions. Our possessions does not define life. And so We come to this place where we find that from the time that God made man until man passes off the scene, as we find in the end of Revelation, we find that life changes. But see, Jesus came that we might have eternal life, forever life. Now, we're going to have eternal life. You get to live forever, no matter what. Either you are serving Jesus and you will spend forever with Jesus. in this vast place called heaven and whatever else he has for us, or you're going to spend it in hell. Now, you can say, I don't believe in hell. Well, unless you were called on to vote on it, you know, God asked, asked Job, you know, well, where were you whenever I was figuring out how to feed the mountain goats up in the mountains, you know? You know, you didn't give me any advice. Well, unless he asked you for advice about hell, you didn't have any input on it. And so whether you believe in hell or not really is immaterial, except for maybe motivation that for you that you don't go there. Okay, because there is a place called hell. And it is not a place for human beings as we know it. It is a place for spirits. Hell was made for demons. Demons are spirits. They're really horrible, grotesque-looking, created beings. They're horrible, okay? You get up in the morning, you've had a rough night, and you look in the mirror, and you say, oh, my, that's horrible. You haven't seen anything yet, okay? Demons are horrible-looking. They are spirits. And we know that spirit is the real us. Amen? When we die, the real us keeps living. Our body falls off our house. In hell, we keep living, okay? But it's not, it wasn't made for us. But if in our spirit being, which we are, we're a spirit being, we choose to reject Jesus, there are consequences with our choices, folks. If we choose to not serve Jesus, we have made a choice to spend forever without him and to spend forever without God and in hell. And it is not a pretty place. Okay, so, but that's not life. It's not life, but it's existence. I say it's not life because God calls it death, because they're away from life, which is God. God is life. Okay, I want you to go with me to, let's go to chapter 21, chapter 20, let's see. Let's go to chapter 21. Last verse. And he's talking about people that are not going to enter in. But I want you to take note of this in chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the, wow, Lamb's Book of Life. Lamb with a capital L. That's the name of this book. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not Mohammed and the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not the Book of Works. There's a Book of Works in heaven. But this is not it. There's a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And if your name is not in that book, you don't get to be there. It's those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Life. There's a book, is how God describes it, because there's, well, we can't say list of names. God doesn't need a list. God doesn't need, oh man, what did I do with my list? God doesn't need a list, but it's for our ability to comprehend it. God has our name registered in his knowledge, that we are associated with the Lamb who is called life. Jesus called himself life. I am life, he says, because he was God. Okay, so here we come back to life. You can't get away from life. But what is life? Life is not what we possess. Life is not pleasure. Well, what kind of a life is this? I don't know. What kind of a life is it? What is life? Well, Jesus said he has come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So how abundant is your life, my friend? Or is your life a struggle? I'm going to tell you, if your life is a struggle, please be here the morning of June the 13th. If you know someone whose life is a struggle, bring them with you. Friend, I want to tell you, this thing of life, it is so important. I want you to think of it. I want you to consider, what is life? We make decisions that's going to change our eternity based upon whether or not we're comfortable with life. People say, well, you know, I'm going to go get way in debt and buy something, you know, because I want that. That's not life, friend. That's not being smart. Okay? We're making our existence here for 70, 80 years or so. We're making that our life, and that's not it. That's not it. You're never going to die. You will never die. So what are you investing your time in while you're here on planet Earth? What are you investing? Are you, Jesus said if you lose your life, you can gain it. It's kind of like he says, if you keep what you have, you don't get it. But if you will give what you have, you get to keep it. Amen. And he's talking about life. We've really got life backwards, folks. We've got it backwards. And we feel like, we hear this term about a bucket list, you know, hey, I want to do these things before I die. While I'm living, I want to do thus and thus. Isn't that kind of, I mean, seriously, isn't it kind of selfish? Man, I want to do this while I live, like, I'm going to die, my life is limited, and I want to hurry and do these things. But I think there's things that we want to do. You know, we want to live to see our children grow up or get married, have grandchildren, whatever, you know, while we're still living. But what is life? Because we're not going to die. We're not going to die. You are not going to die. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you die, you really start living. You really, really start living. Jesus put it this way. Go to Luke chapter 12. Hallelujah, Jesus. Luke chapter 12. Jesus said in verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable to them. He said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Here's a man that is rich, and the rich get richer, and the poor get poorer. This rich man, his ground brings forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, I have no room. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, see, this is what Adam became when God breathed into him. He became a living, L-I-V-E, life. He became a living soul. He said, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for that which is so important about what you're going to eat, what you've got to have to stay alive. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than clothing, than raiment. And then he tells them to consider God's creation, you know, and how God takes care of his people. Don't we have life so mixed up? He said, don't worry about, don't even give thought about your food, your clothing, whatever, because God's going to take care of you. Really? Wouldn't it be something if we could live that way? That we don't, you know, this our top priority is not our food, our clothing, and our shelter. He said, your father knows you have need of these things. Right? But what should our thoughts be about for our existence as we know it today? Our temporary, very temporary life. What should we be focused on? We should be focused on our life after we get rid of this body. But we don't. We get so caught up in this life, whatever that is. What is life? See, life is not just an existence. Life is not just moving about. God wants to touch us and help us to function in His will in everything that the terminology is pertaineth to life. And stuff really doesn't pertain to life. Yeah, no matter how much riches you have, you really are not going to take it with you when you get into real living. Real living is when you get out of this body. Amen. When that worm can get out of that cocoon and fly away, now that's living to him. Okay. And Paul says, we groan to get out of this body. Paul says, man, you know, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. You know, he said, I'd rather die and go to heaven and get on with living. What is life? What is your life? What is my life? I want to know what my life is. You know, we don't know how much time we have to live. We don't have a clue how much time we have to live. But the most important thing in your life is that it's written in that book called the Lamb's Book of Life. Book of Life, wow. So, I ask you, are you caught up in this life? You know, from Genesis on, we're admonished to put God first. Why? Because He created us. He created us with such unique beings. See, He loves us. Doesn't God love you more than the lilies? Don't I care more about you than the sparrow? I take care of these things, and you worry about whether or not I'm going to take care of you. I take care of the sparrow. I take care of the lily. I take care of everything. And you're concerned about your own life. Let me tell you, folks, there's going to be some really big changes made on planet Earth. I really believe that with all my heart. Things are going to change. Economically, you know, I'm going to tell you again. I've told you before. Believe with all my heart. I believe it's a scriptural thing. Get out of debt. Get out of debt, because you'll find yourself owing your soul to the company store, so to speak. Get out of debt. It's the world's way of living, and it'll cross you up. The enemy is out to deceive you. God warns us, the enemy will deceive the whole world. That means me and you. We need to be on top of things. Now, I'm going to ask our worship team to come down, if you would, please. I want to challenge you, parents, young adults. I want to challenge you to consider your level of spiritual thinking. What is your spiritual level? I'm not talking about, you know, just how much you pray or whatever. Is your desire to please God? Because if you're not, you're going to miss some things. Okay? You're going to miss things. It's so easy to get caught up. And this, Scripture teaches us this, okay? God warns us of this. It's so easy to get caught up in life. But it's really not life. Life does not consist of our possessions. Life is not about our desires, our being happy. Life is not about us having pleasures. The pleasures of this life are temporary. We need to kind of smack ourselves on both sides of the face and wake ourselves up. Because times, they are changing, folks. They are changing. What is your passion level for God? Scripture warns us there's going to be a coldness in the last day. God goes so far as to have Amos write it down in the Scripture. He said, I will send a famine of the Word of God. Just as a famine of no bread to eat, he says. But he says, they're going to come. There's going to come a day when people won't be interested in the Word of God. No conviction. No being dealt with by God. That's a sad state to be. I'd like for you to pray and ask God to give you a passion for Him and His Word. Okay? You need a passion for His Word. Need to teach your children, adults, dads. We live in a mixed up society. The world is this way. But you know, God's Word is still true. Dads, you will have to give an account for your children. You'll have to give an account, husbands, for your wives. You say, yeah, but times have changed. It doesn't matter about times changing. You still got to give an account. You're going to have to give an account. Scripture says you're going to have to present your families to God. Husbands, you're going to have to present your wives to God. What did you do as the leader of your home? What did you do with your children? Did you raise your children the ways of the Lord? Going to have to give an account to God. Hello? I'm not making this up. Okay? And that's even more so for the day that we live in this day of grace, when God has given us His Spirit to lead us and guide us and help us to be better husbands and fathers and grandfathers and neighbors and whatever. He warns us of this. We need to, what Peter said, stir yourself. We need to stir ourselves. You know, and say, hey, wait a minute, I'm kind of cold, I'm kind of indifferent. Do you hunger for the Word of God? Or are you satisfied that you've got the answers? Well, when we think we've got the answers, that's one answer we don't have. Amen. We've got the wrong answer to that question of whether or not we have the answers, because we don't. I don't know if you stand together with us. Praise Jesus. If you are streaming with us, I'd like for you to come out tonight. And if you're streaming with us this morning, we'd like for you Wednesday night, next Sunday morning, get yourself in church. Hell doesn't want you in the body of Christ. If you're part of another body of Christ, go there. Don't sit at home listening to us streaming. you need to be in the house of God. Because He will talk to you in God's house about things He won't talk to you about otherwise. So you need to be there, okay? You need to be in the house of the Lord fulfilling the Word of God. You need to be there, friend. Don't get accustomed. Don't get accustomed to convenience. Convenient Christianity ends up being no Christianity at all. Okay. Lord God, I thank You for these folks, for their patience this morning, for their listening, Lord. And I pray for them, Lord. Father, my heart grieves for them. I want to see them, everyone, ready to meet You, Lord. Lord, if You come back today, Lord, I pray there's no one here to even turn the lights off, Lord. Father, that every person here is ready to meet You. And those streaming, Lord, let them be stirred, Lord. Father, I ask You, Lord God, to help us to realize it's not church. It's not about this building, Lord, or any other church building, or any group of people that's got whatever name over their group. Lord, it's about You. It's all about Jesus. Help us to turn to You with a passion, Lord. If we call on You, You will answer us. You will answer us. You will answer us. And help us to listen for what You've got to say. Because You may want to tell us some things that we're not listening for. So help us to be listeners. Help me, Lord, to be listening for You. Be with these folks, Lord, and those that are streaming. And help us today to make right decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. As our worship team kind of helps set an atmosphere, though we shouldn't need one, to seek His face. This altar's open. If He's speaking to you, reach out to Him. And if He's not, be concerned about it. Be concerned about it. Worship team. Thank You, Jesus.